Wise Concise Trustee Handbook, Powers and Duties of the Trustee. This audio file is brought to you by WiseConciseTrusteeHandbook.com. For private entertainment use only. The information presented in this audio file is published with the understanding that the author and publisher, jointly and severally, are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. All decisions made based on the following material are ultimately done at the sole discretion of the listener. Author and publisher, jointly and severally, assume no liability whatsoever. Visit WiseConciseTrusteeHandbook.com for amazing trust knowledge, and to eventually also learn about trust webs, IRS dealings, social security knowledge, court protection knowledge, how to operate with lawful money, and obtaining a lodial title of property. Powers and duties of the trustee. The powers of a trustee are divided into three categories: general, special, and discretionary. The general are all those inherent in trustees' virtuta officii, i.e., ordinarily conferred by trust law. The special are all those conferred by the trust instrument, and the discretionary are all those arising out of the necessity of personal judgment. Though broad discretion may also be conferred by law and as well as by trust instrument. See footnote 61. It is well settled law that under a declaration of trust, the trustees must have all the powers necessary to carry out the obligation of that private contract which they have assumed. See footnote 62. Furthermore, it is settled that the trustees of an express trust are afforded greater latitude to carry out their duties than ordinary trustees. See footnote 63. The trustees are empowered to control every aspect of the trust according to the trust instrument and equity, and retain the power to remove even the beneficiaries from the premises. See footnote 64. These powers include, but are in no way limited to, the power to bind the trust in a contract, especially where such obligation is implied by law. See footnote 65. And the power to contract with the beneficiaries, the power to partition, exchange, sell, pledge, or mortgage the trust property, either in whole or in part. See footnote 66, the power to lease trust property. See footnote 67. The power to issue, change, or otherwise dispose of securities of the trust. The power to support the beneficiaries in all reasonable manner. The power to prosecute and defend in the trust's name or trustee's name. The power to make gifts out of trust property. The power to delegate all unessential powers and duties, and the power to exercise personal judgment and every discretionary power not prohibited by the trust instrument. See footnote 68. He may do whatever a man or woman may lawfully do according to natural right. The fundamental principle of law is that for every power there is a correlative duty. The trustee, as a fiduciary to the beneficiaries, assumes certain basic duties outside of the management of trust property and other general duties aside. From whatever specific duties may be conferred upon the trustee and the trust instrument, these duties include, but are not limited to, the duty to support the beneficiaries in any essential needs which it may have, out of the funds which would otherwise be paid to it in distribution, and if such funds are not available, the duty to accumulate any balance needed. See footnote 69. The duty to refrain from taking advantage of peculiar knowledge or position when dealing directly with the beneficiaries. The duty to exercise the utmost good faith in all concerns of the trust, whether dealing with the trust property itself or directly with the beneficiaries in matters concerning the trust. See footnote 70, including to care for, protect, and secure the trust property. The duty to preserve, protect, and further the trust's interests according to the purposes designated in the trust instrument, including pressing all reasonable demands and prosecuting and fending off all claims, and claiming all available exceptions and taking all available remedies and advantages in trust matters. When delegating unessential powers and duties, the duty to exercise at least a general supervision of the trust affairs and to perform any ministerial acts which require the exercise of discretion or judgment. See footnote 71. The duty to keep minutes and separate accounts of the trust, even if kept in a book with other accounts, with minutes showing decisions and resolutions reached, and accounts showing the state of the trust and pertinent details of transactions, generally in the form of schedules of income received, income paid, additions to principal, deductions from principal, principal on hand, and changes in investment consisting of debtor and creditor sides. See footnote 72, upon acceptance of the trusteeship. The duty to secure and protect the trust property and trust documents. See footnote 73. When investing trust funds, the duty to invest them securely so that they shall be preserved intact for the remainder man, and to invest productively so that they shall yield, at least, the current rate of interest to the life tenant. See footnote 74. And the duty to concur with all co-trustees, except where authorized to act individually. See footnote 75. Footnote 66. It should be noted that even though the trustee may have sold the entire trust estate, the trust is not necessarily terminated until all obligations of the trust arrangement have been fulfilled, especially the transferring of the proceeds to the interest holder, S. Footnote 67. It is a general rule that if, without adequate provision, the trustees lease property outside of the powers granted to them by the trust instrument, such an act will constitute breach of trust. Again, it all comes back to the design of the trust instrument. Footnote 69. The trustees' fealty is to the trust, and all his acts must be governed by strict loyalty to it in the interests of the beneficiaries, and any act which is not in the interest of the beneficiaries is a breach of trust. Footnote 71. It is completely lawful and equitable for a trustee to appoint an authorized representative to act as agent in collecting rents and dividends, keep books and minutes, and, in general, act for the trustee wherever there is a moral or legal necessity to employ such an agent. Necessity may be determined to exist where the ordinarily prudent businessman would employ an agent in his own affairs. Footnote 72. This is not required, but the rule of thumb is that the more detail kept, the better the accounting. The trustee is accountable to the beneficiaries, and the accounts must ultimately balance out in the end. And an account settled in a court of equity is final. It cannot be reopened except to correct a mistake or fraud, and its correctness cannot be questioned in a collateral proceeding in equity or in a court of law. Footnote 74. Generally, where it is impossible to comply with the investments required by the trust instrument, a trustee has recourse to apply to a court of equity for directions. This audio file was brought to you by WeissConciseTrusteeHandbook.com. Visit WeissConciseTrusteeHandbook.com for amazing trust knowledge and to eventually also learn about trust webs, IRS dealings, social security knowledge, court protection knowledge, how to operate with lawful money, and obtaining a lodial title of property.